Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Robbie Schaefer.
And we are here talking about the buzz of Light Years that is at Signature Theater.
Through March 4th, I think.
Plenty of time to still come see it. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Am I correct? You're a Northern Virginia guy originally?
I am a Northern Virginia guy. I was actually born in the city in D.C. And after growing up overseas for about 10 years, I've been living in Northern Virginia ever since.
Where'd you grow up overseas?
First in India.
Okay.
And then we went to Switzerland after that for a change of pace.
Right. Now you're back.
And now we're back.
But also, you have a little bit of an indie folk band from Ohio in the title.
Yes, from Ohio in the title anyway. Yeah, Eddie from Ohio is sort of been my career for, it was for about 17, 18 years. We're still together, but we haven't been touring full time for the last bunch of years.
Yeah.
And we're not from Ohio. In fact, Eddie's from Arlington, but you know.
What was with the name there, just to throw people off?
We always just say Ohio looks better on the t-shirts, but you know, yeah.
It fits
just
a little better, you know?
It fits much better.
It's not as many letters.
Arlington, yeah. It's, yeah.
That's awesome. And I believe the band, did I see you're performing at Birchmere too?
We already did. Yeah, okay. In early January.
Well, how did that go? Let's talk in past tense.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, we've been doing that. We've been doing sort of a 3-night run at the Birchmere every January for, I think, almost a decade now. The Birchmere's like home to us, so we just love it.
Yeah, I mean, from being around here, yeah, that's your hometown. You're the hometown hero there. Okay, cool. So, I just wanted to give our listeners a little background about, you know, sort of your band you've been playing in. So then how does this start percolating in your mind? Because you wrote this sort of as a one-man show originally?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A little over 2 years ago, I started writing this and didn't really realize it was a musical at first. But I also realized that I wasn't going through sort of the normal process of songwriting that would lead to an album and so on and so on. Right. And just bit by bit, it kind of started, the pieces started coming together. And eventually when I realized, I think maybe something theatrical would be the right container for this. And that's when I really set to work and started putting together, you know, an entire script and the rest of the songs and as well. But it was a one-man show until I brought it to Eric Schaefer at Signature Theater and said, hey, what do you think of this?
That's so cool. So wait, so you wrote the story and you wrote the book and the music.
I wrote the book and the music,
which doesn't happen very often.
I didn't know that. I might have split the duties up if I'd known that was like the way people did
half
it.
Half the work, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Work smarter, not harder.
Half the work, twice the fun.
That's really impressive and gives me a good little angle here for this. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Tell us, before we get too far in, tell us about, I guess, just the premise, like what the story is.
Yeah, so it's highly autobiographical. It's a story about a father and a son, and the space between them, and how they love each other even when they don't necessarily understand one another. And it's also a story, I think, about I know in my life the gift of music has given me this tool to give voice to things that the previous generation, my father, never really had a voice for. And I found that to be a really beautiful thing that I think is probably, if we look carefully enough, I think that's probably true for most of us. We have these opportunities to continue the story of our family, of our community, of our country, even just by bringing our particular tools, our particular gifts to it. Yeah.
And music just happened to be your outlet. Yeah.
And music just happens to be my tool.
And theater now, baby.
And theater now.
It's I believe the father in the story is a Holocaust survivor too.
Yes.
Okay. Is that true?
That is true. Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. Yes. And that's
tell us a little bit. Well, as much as you care to share on that.
Yeah. A big part of this was, and given what I just said about continuing stories and giving voice to shining light on difficult things and painful things. You know, my father, we always knew that he lived through the war, but he never called himself a Holocaust survivor.
What country was he from?
He was born in Romania.
Okay.
And the family was in camps through much of the war. And then after the war, the whole family survived, or at least, you know, the immediate family, my grandparents and my father and his sister. And then after the war, and after some time in a refugee camp, they immigrated to Israel, and my father eventually came here and actually went to Howard University in Washington, D.C.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he study?
Economics.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's wild. Well,
yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know.
Okay, so you grew up kind of nominally aware that he was over there during the war period, but when did you start hearing these stories about the camps and the Holocaust? And you're starting to, wow, I got to put this into a
yeah.
show.
I never heard the stories about camps from him, in fact. What stories I do know about that are from his older sister, who still lives in Israel. And she's, so I think in the Holocaust part, while it's sort of the 11th hour moment in this show, it's not really ultimately what the entire thing is about,
right.
And it's not what most of it is about.
Right.
And when I started writing it, I wasn't thinking of writing specifically the story of a Holocaust survivor. It's
right.
more about the dynamic between parent and child.
Okay,
and,
well,
and how
since
that works,
the show
you know?
Focuses less on that and more on this dynamic, talk mm-hmm. to me about that dynamic. How is mm-hmm. father and son in the show? What's that relationship like for the characters? And then also, how was it for you in real life? And how close does that actually parallel?
Mm. That parallels pretty closely. I mean, to the extent that, you know, my father was... And this is where, of course, I think being a survivor of trauma and a refugee and all of that influences the relationship between you and your kid. In that, a lot of what my father wanted for himself and for us, his children, was security and safety, and that to him. And probably to a lot of people of his generation, that translated into financial security and a reasonable job. And the dichotomy, of course, is that what he also wanted by coming to the United States was freedom, not just for himself, but for his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren eventually. So he at once wanted us to have the freedom to have an easy, wonderful, expressive life, and he also wanted us to be terribly responsible, right? You know, so,
right.
So there's
always the rub.
There's always the rub, and I don't think that's incredibly uncommon,
no,
but I do think a lot of that was heightened by his experiences as a kid, and so while he always loved the fact that I was a musician, he gave me my first guitar.
What age?
Seven.
Wow.
I was seven. Yeah, and. He always loved that, but to do it as a career seemed a little irresponsible to him.
Right.
And so there was always a little bit of friction between us about that. And so that plays out during the play a certain amount. And I think there's a universality to that as well, obviously, you know, whether it's involving music or not.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people experience those kinds of things. And generally, I guess the other part of the dynamic between father and son in the show and in my life was, I think when we grow up with parents who have experienced trauma and choose to stuff that away, even if we don't talk about that, there is this felt silence, even from a very, very young age, which I didn't realize till later in life that I had felt that dynamic in my family for a long time. And so a lot of the show deals with pinpointing that perceived silence and what is that and what does that feel like as a kid and how do you start giving words and expression to that as you get older. And for me, it was the impetus to discover more about where I came from and who I am, you know.
That's great. So this is sort of the story you're wanting to express. How
mm-hmm.
does that actually come out musically? Like what music do we, is it like the Eddie from Ohio sound or is it a little bit different or, you know, explain musically what we're going to hear.
Yeah, good question. It's probably better thing for other people to say than me, but I don't know that I have the perspective on it. But yeah, it's probably somewhat similar. You know, I'm one of the main songwriters for Eddie from Ohio, so I don't think it's too far removed from what you might hear from Eddie from Ohio. In fact, our shows at the Birchmere, we covered a few of the songs from Light Years and performed those.
The folk sound if we come to
it's
the show?
Okay. Absolutely,
yes. I just want to tell our listeners what sort of, you know, sound.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so actually, you know, what's kind of neat is the whole band in the show is going to be on stage. and it's acoustic guitar. I play guitar throughout the show.
You mean the Eddie from Ohio band's on stage?
No, oh, not the okay, Eddie from okay. Ohio
I gotcha,
band.
I gotcha. I see what you're saying.
But yeah, the musicians in the show are on stage.
Gotcha.
And it's acoustic guitar, it's drums, it's piano, violin, bass. It's sort of a relatively acoustic sort of stringed sound to it.
What we saw in like Once or something, maybe?
I think there are definitely some similarities there. Absolutely. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the vibe of it. It's sort of a folk rock sound, which is kind of where I've made my bed for a long time. So
Might as well
keep making my bed.
Yeah. All right. So that's sort of the story and the music. So you get all this together, you write it, and then you write the music. Talk about then coming to these guys at Signature, which always do a bang up job on everything. How do they work with you to start, visualizing it and staging it? It's a one man play, but so how does your father factor in? How does that actually all come to life visually?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the first things that happened when I met with Eric Schaefer, who's the artistic director at Signature and the director of Light Years now as well. As he said, yeah, I think we need to make this more theatrical. And so it's no longer a one-man show.
So it was originally intended as that, and now
it was
expanded.
When I first brought it to him, it was a one-man show. And it was one of the first things he said, what do you think about? And he even sent me a little sort of, he took the script and, asked if he could just just mess around with one of the scenes just to see what I would think of it. And he sent it to me. And I remember I was waiting for, a couple of weeks. He was traveling and he sent it to me. And I got the email from him. I was getting up at, 6:30 in the morning or something like that, and just saw it. And I was kind of eager. And I clicked on the attachment and saw what he had done. And I just lit up. He had really touched on something. I just didn't know how to do it. I'm not versed in the theater world, or at least I wasn't yet at that point. So, from there, I went away for, 3, 4, 6 months, something like that, and essentially rewrote the whole show with 6 characters in it.
Wow. All right. So who are all the 6 characters?
There's 3 versions of me.
Okay.
Which is, Everybody wants that.
This whole interview, actually, I never know which one I'm getting.
Different
ages. The
one
from Ohio, the one from Virginia, the one from overseas.
I've got more too. Just wait.
Let's keep.
How much time do we have?
Yeah. All right. So there's 3 versions. Like, I guess different ages.
Yeah, different ages. There's a young Robbie, sort of a young adult Robbie, and then I essentially act as the narrator and storyteller of the piece until later in the show when I play myself in present time. There's my father named Connie, and then there are 2 women who are backup singers for the songs of the show. And it's a little hard to describe. Actually, they like to say we play the idea of Robbie. That may be a little too esoteric, but
no, I'm with you. Let's go.
But yeah, they sort of play the inner voice, the inner conscience, and that person we all talk to when we talk to ourselves.
That's them.
That's them.
And they just happen to be backup singers in this.
They happen to be soulful backup singers. The singers I always wish I could have been.
Most of just have like a little angel and devil on the shoulder. You have these soul backup singers.
Oh yeah, they
You're
kill
lucky.
It. Oh, they're great. I am lucky.
Cool. The title Light Years. Mm-hmm. What are we going for with that? I'm sure when we see it, it'll all become apparent. But give us a teaser here.
It might become apparent. I don't know. I think. I had to change the title. The original title was actually A Small Light in a Dark Room, which is a great title, but probably best for the book.
Yeah.
For the memoir or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the things I had to learn about. Another thing I had to learn about musical theater, Eric said, yeah, I think we need something shorter. So Light Years it is. And it certainly nods to a particular central scene in the show, so I suppose in that way, that's the most literal connection with the title. But I think it also talks about, to me, the connotation is that there are these vast amounts of space between us in our relationships in life, whether they're parent-child relationships or sometimes spouse and partner relationships, that we don't always acknowledge that is there, right? And those relationships at once are millions of miles away from one another, and at the same time,
connected.
Just like that, like you can be connected. Yeah. And so that's really sort of, for me, the connotation of light years and how it applies to the relationship between Robbie and Connie in the show.
Love it. And you still get the light from your original title. What was it?
A small light in a dark room.
So you get your light, and then it deals with, you know, the three different ages. So you get your years, and we put it together with this awesome analogy you just did. Boom.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing. I'll tell you what.
Dote on them a little bit. Yeah. Why do you like working over there so much?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I do. First of all, I never would have aimed that high. Honestly, I was thinking, you know, maybe let's do this thing in my parents' barn, and maybe my mom can make the costumes. That's what I'm thinking.
A little light in a dark barn.
Yeah, a little light in a dark barn, and we'll it'll be great.
It'll sell out.
The neighborhood will love it.
Yeah.
And and while I was writing, I happened to talk to an old friend who I had just recently reconnected with. And he was one of the only people I was telling that I was writing a musical, because you can't say that out loud to too many people, because then you have to actually finish it, you know?
Right.
So
right.
Then
it becomes real.
It becomes real, and you don't want to do that too soon. But I mentioned it to him, and he said, you know, whenever you're at a stopping point, I actually used to be on the executive board at Signature Theater, and if you'd like, I'll introduce you to Eric Schaefer there. And I remember thinking, yeah, okay, I'll see you in my family's barn.
Yeah.
But sure enough, when I got to the stopping point with this, you know, what was the one man show at the time, he put me in touch with Eric, and it turned out that Eric already was familiar with Eddie from Ohio. So, which made Eric say yes to meeting with me, because I think he gets pitched a lot of stuff.
Right.
What a thrill to me to have then, over the course of, you know, a couple of years, really have help developing the show, and Signature really not only embracing me as a first-time playwright, but I'm really impressed with the way they embrace new works in general. I think there's a lot of lip service paid to that. People love to talk about taking artistic risk and putting resources toward new artists.
They actually
do it, and that's not easy to do. And I've seen the inside of that a bit, you know, not just with my show, but with other first time works that they've put on in the intervening 2 years, that it requires an enormous amount of resources, and knowing that sometimes it'll really hit and sometimes it may not, you know, and that's part of that. That's part of what you sign up for when part of your mission is to really commit and be devoted to bringing new works to light. So I'm absolutely thrilled, and there's just so many talented people there. I walk into the room, you know, we're in the middle of rehearsals now, and
you're like, that's Natasha Diaz.
She's
West Side Story.
and mostly that actually even, and I don't walk in so much starstruck, because again, I'm new to the theater, so right. I don't have a lot of reference points for that. But more just the pleasure of being surrounded by extremely talented people. From the actors to the stage management team to you know, to Eric, of course, himself, and the music director David Holsenberg, who's in from New York to do this show. It's quite a pleasure as an artist, you know.
I'm sure it's mutual. I'm sure they're saying, "Hey, that's Robbie from Northern Virginia." We think depends which one we're talking to.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming in. This was great.
Oh yeah, thank
Anything
you so
else
much.
We'd like to add? I mean, all right, yeah. In closing, just why should we come out?
I was thinking about this on the way over here this morning, that, you know, at first I wanted to tell this really big universal story. And one of the beautiful things that Eric helped me do was to trust that if we told a small, personal, intimate story, that the universality of it would play out. And I think that's what's happening. I hope that's what's happening. And I think this is a story that, aside from the particulars of my father and me, is something that's going to resonate for everybody.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'm a really handsome guy.
Said the guy on radio.
People awesome. Have always told me I have a face for radio.
Well, there you go. Well, you got to come to Signature to see it. But that's a great point. From the intimate to the universal, what can bridge those faster than light years? Now yeah. At Signature Theater. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.